This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek, James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you. And tonight, Andrew, we are talking pup play.
We are talking pup play. Now, James, I don't know if you've noticed this.
What?
I haven't seen you at the lead, so maybe you haven't. that here in Melbourne, at least, there's been an increase in the number of younger guys in particular
right.
who are heading out on the town and wearing their pup masks.
Okay. All right. I actually, now that you bring up the pup masks, I have seen an increase in pup masks in general,
okay.
just around on the internet, coming up in the feeds.
Yes, I wasn't expecting it down in Bourke Street.
No, I haven't been seeing it down in Bourke Street. I haven't been to the venues lately to see an increase in pup masks. Now, let me ask: is it just the mask that's appearing, or are we seeing tails and crawling as well?
There's a bit of that as well.
Okay,
so we're going to have to find out more tonight.
Well, that's right, because I am a novice when it comes to pup play. When I was doing my research, I learnt a lot, can I just
yes,
say.
Yes, you were quite enthralled.
I was enthralled is probably the correct word, especially when it came to some of the contraptions and tails that were involved. I was quite intrigued, actually. So I'm glad that we are doing this, Andrew.
Very good. So tonight joining us in the studio is G-Pup Alpha.
Hello.
Wonderful.
And joining us on the line is Pup Boss John. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, guys.
Thank you for joining us and letting us have G-Pup here for the night.
Yeah, I can't really control it.
Oh, right.
It's true.
He was keen.
Now, Who should tell us this? Maybe we'll start with you, G-Pup. You're here in the studio with us. What exactly, for those who have no idea, well, everyone knows that puppies exist.
Yes.
But maybe tell us a little bit about the basics of how it works. If there's such a thing.
It's a difficult one because it works differently for different people.
Okay.
However, I see that human pup play is an anthropomorphic fetish based around people taking on characteristics of dog-like behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to be able to revel in that dog-like moment where everything is now.
Yeah.
There's no future. There's no past. There may be a rolled-up newspaper. No, not really. but it's about being 100% focused in the moment.
How is that different to other fetishes in it being right in the moment?
I was going to say wonderful gear. fantastic gear. I love gear. But how is it different from other fetishes? Well, I suppose that there are similarities and it pulls upon a lot of different fetishes. And it's an opportunity to explore other fetishes as well. That's for some people, human pup play is not sexual at all.
Right.
For
okay.
other people, it can be a very sexualized fetish. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole range in between that. So for that reason, pup play for many people is what you make of it. And in our pack and our training with Sir is that we aren't the be-all and end-all of human pup play, and I'd never claim to say that I'm an expert in human pup play because I'm an expert in what I do, but that may not be the same for other pups.
Sure,
Pup Boss, how do you define pup play yourself?
Oh, look, I think you can make it really simple. When you see a guy in a big like dog outfit, looks like a mascot. You know, traditionally we call him a furry. And some of those people kind of get into the role of being like their furry animal, like a dog or a wolf or something. And pup play is kind of a crossover between BDSM fetish and kind of furrydom. You're getting people creating these roles as pups and using gear to define their identity.
It's interesting that you brought up the, you know, perhaps relationship with BDSM, because I think from the videos that I've seen of both of yours, and and what I've read,
only two.
Yeah, I don't have all the time in the world, boss. But there is definitely an aspect of BDSM in there, in the fact that the, you know, pup boss is boss, and the puppy, I guess, is not really ever in control, right?
Oh, look, I think for some people, and this is what makes pup play particularly marvelous for some new, you were talking about some young folk earlier, people coming into the fetish, for some of them, they don't have a master or a sir or a mistress, and they identify themselves as a pup, so they don't. It's a sort of role and persona you can make without needing to have a sir necessarily. But clearly, in our own case, we do adopt some of the traditional bondage, disbond, sadomasochism kind of history of pup and sir.
Now, G-Pup, you call yourself Alpha. What's that in reference to?
Yeah. Are you in charge of other puppies?
Not really in charge per se. It's almost... Sometimes it feels like dorm master, but in as much that I am like maybe a guidance counselor role, mm-hmm. in that I'm an educator, I'm a supporter, but part of my role is to be between Sir and the pups. So if I feel that Sir has been perhaps a bit harsh on a pup, then it's my job to go to Sir and say, hey, I just... could we word this a little bit better or something like that? So it's almost like there's a safety check role in there that we've incorporated into our pack, because we know that we're all human. Some of us will take on dog-like personas, but we're still all human, so we have to look after each other.
It's kind of like having your workplace health and safety.
I know, and that's another whole lot of gear and hats.
A union delegate for the pup, kind of.
Pup boss, what makes a person a good pup?
Well, it's a great question. A lot of people do want to become pups who are, for the want of a better word, submissive. They like to be submissive to a dominant person, so they'll try and enter pup play to take that non-human or submissive role that they think is submissive. But I train pups to be assertive, submissive, and dominant, you know, to express themselves according to the mood that they want to do. So when I'm looking for a pup, what I think really differentiates a pup from, say, a sub or a boy is the capacity of the person to express different modes. To not just be one thing, not just to be a boy.
Well, I guess if you think about dogs in the real world, well, real dogs, they are like that. They do have different... they're not, you know, they don't do everything that you say all the time.
Oh, yeah, and you've got to... It's interesting, you were talking about alpha earlier. For a lot of people, the alpha comes from that wolf pack kind of mentality. They'll think of an alpha as the top dog or something. All of allusions to Wentworth aside, more a case of you can't reproduce everything about a dog to a person, clearly. I mean, we are unique, despite the tail insertion, our kneecaps don't work the same way, for a start.
Oh, yeah, that is an interesting question. Do the pups always crawl around?
No, it's not. I've noticed a lot of pups out there who want to do pup play either on all fours or standing up. And I guess you look at that furry, the fursuiters and other people who are creating those personas, there isn't a necessity to be on all fours all the time. And it's no good for your meniscus around your knees anyway.
No. You'd have to go around with those plasterers or those painters' pads on your knees all the time.
Volleyball pads.
Well, we use them.
They're volleyball pads, and actually the best bloody buyer you can get. Just go into a rental store, they're like $20 and they're really good for your knees. So obviously you're a bit in the know then.
Just putting logic to it. G-Pup, handlers are another term that's used in the pup community. What's the role of a handler?
For me, my personal belief is that a handler is more about perhaps training per se, or they may have a very specific role that on weekends at a pup mosh, it's the handler's job.
A pup mosh?
Think of like a rave party, but for pups.
Okay.
That's probably the easiest way.
Yep.
But at a pup mosh, a handler, his role might be to supervise the pup and make sure they're having a fun time, not getting into any trouble.
Can you
or
imagine
anything
that must be so much work?
You know what? I went to my first mosh in America in December, and I was overwhelmed with how friendly and fun and social it was. Mm. I didn't go into the mosh pit. Because my body's not a moshable. I don't think I'd make that. There's not enough Panadol in the world. But it was such an overwhelmingly social and fun event that I really, really enjoyed it. Mm. And I'd recommend it to people that if they have even a vague interest to at least explore it and find out. I hid a pup hood under my bed for 4 freaking years till I got to wear it. So don't wait 4 years. Get into it.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we really should touch on how you actually found out about your puppydom.
Well, okay. So I was at Folsom in San Francisco. And I went to Mr. S, and that place is just my mecca. I love Mr. S to death. I love you, Mr. S. Mr. S.com. Bye, fire, thehappypup.com. So anyway, went there and saw this pup hood, and I thought, hey, that's really, really cool. Didn't buy it. It was expensive.
Right.
It was like $500.
What?
And that was a lot of money in the day. And you know, I had
a lot
to
of money in any day.
Absolutely. Gear isn't cheap.
Yeah.
Choose carefully. So anyway, we went off to Folsom, and there was a whole bunch of rubber pups, and they were all sort of bouncing around and being silly and having a good time. And I thought, that's kind of interesting, but not kind of my thing. But there was a leather pup, an older pup, who was just in head-to-toe leather hood, and he had a handler with him, a guy that was just holding the leash and looking after him for the day. And I sort of went up and said, hey, to the handler, I said, I miss my German Shepherds. Do you mind if I pat your pup? And he goes, sure. And we had a really good chat. And that was when I thought, you know what, this is really cool and this is something I like. Went and bought the hood. And, it hung around until I came to meet Pup Boss.
Okay.
And, I don't regret a minute of it.
Oh, and how did you meet Pup Boss?
Oh, it was just one of those weird-ass connections or thing. I was looking for a lesbian friend needed a sperm donor.
You're right. You weren't wrong.
Exactly. Exactly right. So we need say no more. That's how crazy the interwebs is. So that's how I came to
it's
be trained.
It's a whole nother show.
but Pup Boss, you have several pups, don't you? You're a multi-handler.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, ambitiously, I decided to build a pack, which is just a group of human pups. So we meet up every month or so. We train and we play, and we use the internet to stay in constant contact with each other.
Mm.
So,
oh, the internet does marvelous things
it
these
does.
Days.
It does.
Not just for porn.
No.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you for Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And tonight we are talking pup play.
We are. We have G-Pup Alpha in the studio, and on the line we have Pup Boss with us. Pup Boss, G-Pup mentioned earlier that pup play can be sex-based, or it can be, and others define it more as a sexuality. What about you? Is it sexuality or sex or a combination?
Oh, look, to be honest, with a pack of pups, I'd be exhausted after 2 days.
Yeah.
There's not enough Viagra in the world to make it sexually completely. there's moments where it definitely can be very intimate. A lot of people in pub play like to be fairly naked, and putting a tail on someone's bum does require a bit of kind of getting to know you. So there's definitely a barrier of intimacy that gets crossed. For some people, it is really, really about a sexual fetish. For others, it's just about being able to cuddle and lose themselves into a bit of cuddling up as a dog.
Now, you've brought up the tail, and I think that's where my interest peaked. By the...
I was picking that up earlier.
His tail was wagging.
Yeah. Well, it definitely would have been if I had one inserted. It was...
live tail insertion.
I couldn't believe that... because there's one of your videos, G-Pup, that shows how the tail wags and moves.
Yeah.
And just by it being inside, and then it catches on to how you're moving, and then it moves. I was just like, this is amazing.
Consider it an extension of your spine.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's what a tail is.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So what other... You've talked about how amazing the gear is, and we're talking... Costumes and
costumes,
stuff.
Costumes, yes. Well, we shouldn't say costumes.
We shouldn't say costumes.
No. Equipment.
Equipment, yeah.
You can call it costume if you want. For some people, it is kind of like that. It's like cosplay. Like,
yeah, okay.
At Supernova, it's dressing up and putting on a role.
We haven't done a show on costume play.
No, not yet.
Edwardian week. Can't wait.
Tell us what some of the other, I guess, contraptions or bits and pieces that are in your toolkit for pup play.
Well, so, okay, for me, essential gear is a tail and a hood. I'm big on the hoods. I've got more than a few. Well, I just like gear.
What makes a good hood?
It's got to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, it has to express your pup persona. So for me, my pup persona is a German Shepherd.
Okay.
So I'm looking at brown leathers, darker leathers, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I had a hood made specifically for me, which with a darker leather. And I've got a rubber hood that's, you've probably seen in some of the videos, and that's that was made by a chap in San Diego, and that's his whole life. All he does is make those hoods.
Oh my God.
To the point that worldwide there's now a shortage of those hoods, and there's a 6-month backlog. It's nuts.
Wow. But you should be making some good cash.
If you like Lycra, there's stacks of Lycra to wear. If you like leather, stacks of leather to wear. If you like rubber... my God, the whole world of rubber puppies is just mental. Look at all the photos from Folsom Europe. Mm. There's packs and packs and packs of rubber pups there. It's just, it's very rubbery.
Yeah, Pup, if I could interject for a sec. I'd say definitely if you wanted to start out as a pup in puppy play, to any of your listeners, most importantly, you should be getting yourself some gloves and some knee pads. Because if you are going to get on all fours, or you're going to kneel, you're going to want to protect your knuckles and your knee.
Mm.
So sporting goods stores, and to be honest, just go buy a pair of UFC boxing gloves. You know, fighting gloves, they look a bit macho, and they work really well. But beyond that, you can knock yourself out creating your persona.
What are some of your essentials, apart from those the basics there? What are your favourites? Pup boss.
Well, I mean, my favourites is everything that G-Pup likes, of course.
Bless.
But he does mention that there are a variety of hoods. And that's an interesting thing about pup play, is that it does introduce you to a different texture. So you've got a leather hood, very easily acquired from Mr. S, but you've also got rubber hoods. And you can get neoprene hoods, which you can wear in the surf, like some of our pups have been out swimming in them. You can get yourself hard leather, soft leather hoods. So it leads you on to explore the different gear that you could wear. You might begin to take an interest in leather or into rubber.
How much does a hood restrict movement or and vision, for example?
That's a good one for Alpha, because G-Pup's had a bit of experience there.
Yeah, no, so hoods greatly restrict vision. And this is why human pup play part of the training that we offer is to teach people how to express their emotions using their bodies. Because if you're wearing a hood, facial expressions don't matter.
Okay,
you can't see them. So you need to be able to express whether you're being assertive, whether you're being dominant, whether you're being submissive with your body and not with your face. And I think for me, that's been the most interesting part of the human side of being animalistic, is that how do you express human emotions in a non-human way?
Would you like me to show you how to do it right now on the radio? How to do a little bit of that expression as a pup?
Sure.
Sure.
So you're sitting there on your chair, and I imagine most of your listeners are as well, or in bed. So if you put your fists, make your hands into fists, and put them down on top of your knees, that's right. Kind of an assertive
gesture. Yeah. Yes.
But if try and move both your wrists, move your fists in, just covering up your goods so that it's right in the centre of your groin.
Mm. Yep.
And that's kind of a submissive posture because you're kind of covering yourself up. You're being a bit more frightful.
Yeah. If you've got your fists on your knees, you're more open in a way.
Yeah. You're just showing, look, I'm calm, I'm confident. Now go the reverse. Put them, just raise your arms up a little bit and put your fists actually on your hips.
Right.
And you can see, like, you make a triangle with your arms. That's a quite aggressive or dominant posture.
I guess that would look neat. It kind of does look aggressive.
Yeah.
You're looking bigger. And that's kind of a really important... That's something pup play really brings out, is you're using your body, almost like dance or other things. You're using your whole body and plane and your arms and your legs to communicate. So you're not using language as much.
Mm.
Body is really important.
Are the pups allowed to talk?
Well, I guess it's something you'd hope they talk if they're going to tell you the building's on fire.
It's pretty freaking hard to get a cup of tea out of barks.
Right. Obviously, you're not barking hard enough.
No, but there is a pup lexicon. Mm. So that if you're not going to be using human words, then what can you do? So, say, for example, if you want to show affection, you'll go, roar.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like a roar. And like, yep, could mean, ouch, that really hurt. Geez, why did you choose the extra large? I didn't need that tail.
Yep.
I'm a medium guy. So there's a pup lexicon, and in combination with that we know that pups who are excited, you know, they're more likely to be talking in a very fast cadence or at a higher pitch can show distress. So there's lots of nuances with that. And, you know, it's about layer upon layer upon layer through the learning.
You know, that's what we teach in our pack, is about that frequency of how often if you're going like, arf, 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 as opposed to arf, arf. You know, just the amount of times you're repeating the sound, and like Alpha was saying, the pitch, how low or high the tone is, that kind of communicates a lot. So it brings a bit from acting and performance.
I guess it would definitely help for people who have owned dogs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is all just sounding like when it was when we had a dog at home.
Well, when you think about it, though, that there were many times that you have to think, okay, well, what do I want to express? Okay, I want to express mischievousness or something like that. Then I had all I have to do is think about my shepherds. What are they like when they've done something naughty?
Yeah.
And you find a human replication for that.
Yeah. You must be paying a lot more attention to your dogs lately.
Unfortunately, they don't live with me anymore. I miss them dearly. But you learn a lot from watching dogs. Go to a dog park, and when you see them, the way that they behave with each other, you can learn a lot.
You're on Hide and Seek with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice, and we are talking pup play. If you've got any questions or if you have any queries or whatever, send us a text at 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We're joined by G-Pup and Pup Boss.
That's right.
And we're more of it right after this.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Tonight we have G-Pup Alpha in the studio and Pup Boss on the line talking about giving us an introduction to the pup life.
We're learning a lot.
We are learning a lot.
And if you have any questions, 0427 joy949 or onair@joy.org.au. Got a message here from Tristan, who's just tuning in front of the fire, which is wonderful.
Good to have you with us, Tristan. Pupos, G-Pup Alpha before mentioned that he identifies as a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips? How does one go about choosing a pup persona?
Well, I think it's very important that a person create their own persona.
Mm.
And think of it as like that cosplay at Supernova. It's something where you want to craft a role that you really want to be, that you want to emulate. So if you really see yourself as a kind of, I just want to be a cuddly, you know, dog that, yeah, you're going to be a big golden retriever or something. Or you're going to be rambunctious. Maybe you're a big Rottweiler or a Great Dane.
I was having a look before on an article out of the States, and they're saying there's even drag queen poodles.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be a poodle.
One of our pups in associated with us is a friend of Sharon Needles, and I understand that Sharon and Alaska, when Alaska was out, she did bring a poodle human pup out on stage with her. So pup play has kind of crossed over into a lot of different things.
There we go.
Who knows where we'll be seeing it next.
Exactly. So G-Pup, as we sort of head towards the end of the show, what are some of your tips to somebody who's wanting to start out their pup journey?
Look, I think the most important thing is that be aware of that there are a lot of resources that are out there. Now, we've been very proactive about creating resources. So Serious Pup is a very intense website about training. The Happy Pup, my website, is more about gear and about focus. But we also have a website called the Pup Safe Project, where we talk about safety, and that's mental health safety, physical safety, and medical safety as well. And we value that these are very important aspects of human pup play. And if you can, get in contact with people in the know, people who are able to pass on the pup play lore and the pup play, not L-A-W, L-O-R-E, sort of like the you know,
yeah,
the trainings.
Mm.
Well, isn't that brilliant? That, like, you know, when I was younger, we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant. You could just type into Google human pup play and there's a whole stack of resources available for you. I'm sure that there is a poor old puppy training school in San Francisco.
We feel for
imagine,
them.
Yeah.
It's not our fault they don't know how to do SEO.
And Pupos, as G-Pup mentioned, your website's Serious Pup, as in Serious as being the star sign, S-I-R-I-U-S.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of resources out there, and there's a good, thriving community of human pup play in Australia, as well as America and the UK, and in Taiwan. We speak a bit of Japanese, a bit of Chinese.
Well, I guess the language of dog is universal.
Yeah, well, it's a fetish which crosses not only cultural boundaries, but gender boundaries as well, because there are people who are transitioning, who like to take on a pup role because it's genderless.
And
it doesn't put them in a particular place.
And you mentioned, therefore, you know, as you're saying, a global community is really, really starting to form. Do we have a pup day, a pup pride week, anything like that?
Well, we definitely do. I mean, pup pride is happening around the globe, but we're up here in Sydney, of course, because, you know, not to be bitchy, but we've got Mardi Gras, right? So there's that Mardi Gras going on.
Yep.
And we have a float in the Mardi Gras, the Pup Pride float each year. So we had our first this year. It was great. We also have pup camps every 3 months or so.
Pup camps?
Yeah, yeah. We're off to the Royal National Park or Cockatoo Island up here in Sydney Harbour. We rent out a building, and we gather together, do training, get to know each other. It's kind of like a school camp, for fetish.
Oh, I hope you find a place with a fence all the way around it. Don't want any of your puppies running away.
We have those like micro fence things. If anything, we need a Winnebago just to carry all the damn gear.
True.
And G-Pup, are there any local groups here in Melbourne do you know?
Well, look, as you said, there are pups who are going out and about in the Laird.
Yes.
And there's old school and new school pups there. But also, there's just started here in Victoria, VicPAR, or Victorian Pups and Handlers.
Right.
And, you know, that's an exciting new addition as well, because it's very similar to the other pups and handlers groups in America as well. So there's CPAR, Seattle, name a town in America, and they've got a PAR as well. So, you know, it's great to introduce that sort of opening play area here in Victoria. And
if I may say, if you don't mind, guys, anybody who wants to go along to VicPAR, they're having their meeting, their first large meeting this weekend. I think it's the Lancashire, I'm not sure, or the Yorkshire or something.
Probably the Yorkshire, yep.
Yeah, the Yorkshire on Hoddle Street, I think, or around there.
Yeah, that's and, Friday, I think.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, could be around there. And please, walk up to Wolf Pup. You'll notice him. He's the tall fella. He's an old pup I've trained. He's a great guy, and he'll really give you a welcome and make sure you're safe and okay.
Wonderful.
And you mentioned just something I jotted down before. Is there a difference between human pups, humans who are acting as dog pups and those that are acting as wolf pups? Is there a difference at all, or is it the same sort of thing?
I think it's all in the flavours, like caramel and chocolate. it comes down to what people want to call themselves and how they want to express. It's more of the flavour text. The activity is still the same. It's all still human pup play.
So, Pup, you'd also recommend, as you said, doing a lot of Googling.
Absolutely.
And getting in contact with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, look, we regularly set up a training camp, and we aren't the only people in the world. You can contact people on Facebook. You just get out there and Google, and you'll find that there are pup groups that you can contact and talk to. And they can share, you can watch videos. I dare say you might have noticed we have a few on YouTube.
Mm.
You can't avoid us. if you're a young pup looking for other young pups, why not stick your head in Puppy 101 on Facebook? That's a great starter group as well.
There we go.
Well, Puppy Boss, thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, guys.
Not a problem. Thank you so much. And G-Pup Alpha, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Arf. Thanks.
Helping us to learn a lot more and get introduced to the pup life.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.